All right. Hello and welcome to yet another episode of Matchroom Radio with David Diamante. That's me. I'm your host for today. And we're joined today by members of Team Marku. He's in a great co-main event fight this weekend. It's manager Sam Jones and his very new trainer, Clifton Mitchell. Guys, great to see you. How you doing today?
Thanks for the invite to come on your podcast.
Absolutely.
Much appreciated.
When I found out you were going to be in the bubble, Clifton, I said, we've got to get Clifton into the bubble. And hopefully, fans, you're going to hear a lot more about Clifton. Even though he's training Florian Marku, he's got a lot of other things that he does. So there's a lot we're going to touch on, and it's an honor to have you here. Sam, also you too. You're the manager for Florian. How you doing, buddy?
I'm great, thank you. But before we get started, could you mind saying my name twice?
Jones. Jones.
Yes,
all right,
yes,
now we can begin.
Yes, I'm okay. Digging that.
Great stuff. How's the bubble been so far for you guys?
It's been good, to be fair. I've been in the bubble before, but the other side, Warren's bubble, is nothing like this.
How so? How does it differ?
There's no table tennis, there's no darts, there's no pool. The food's absolutely rank, to be fair. At the end of the day, this bubble's another level.
Okay. Sam, how are you finding the bubble?
I've done a few of these now. I did the one with the Anthony Joshua one in December. Joe Joyce was fighting Daniel Dubois.
Sure.
Which was pretty good, to be fair. I was in a nice hotel with nice rooms. They're okay. It's time to relax. But like, it's nice. It's actually like a bit of normality, especially when it's like food and you see people sitting down to eat. Cause it's like, it's not normal these days to sit down and eat, is there? It's because of this pandemic.
Well, yeah, it's nice that we're kind of all stuck together, yeah. And we get to spend time together. We get to talk, and it's kind of nice. We can talk shop, you know, and it's
you can hear Clifton all over the hotel, can't you?
What are you being like that for?
All right, so check it out. You guys, before we really get into it, the obvious connection that that you guys have would be Derby.
Derby County.
Yeah, Derby County. So it's both of your hometowns. And when I say Derby and Derby County, what comes to mind for you? What do you think about?
Think about the Rams for me.
I knew that was going to come. And we've got some stories about the Rams.
Yeah.
Cannot wait to talk about that. That's the Wayne Rooney's the manager right now, right?
Correct.
And their Championship League team.
Yeah.
And you've done some. So if people don't know out there, Clifton also runs SAUK. So Clifton used to be a fighter. He's a father. He's a trainer. But he also runs the security company SAUK, and they do all of our events, and they do a lot of other events too. So what's it like to get to work with the Rams, the Derby County Rams?
Well, being a massive Derby County fan, I've been trying to get in there to do a lot of work with them for a long time. But obviously working with Matchroom for over 25 years, I've been working for Matchroom. It's given me a lot more, how can I put it, to get out there, to get my company out there, it's been a lot easier for these people to take us a lot more serious, understand?
Yeah.
The profile that Matchrooms give us as well. So my favourite job I've done for Derby is when we played Leeds.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that actually.
Yeah.
So this is it was a famous match.
Yes.
And what happened when you were there supposedly protecting, doing security for the manager? What?
Well,
because I've heard some stuff that happened.
To be fair, right?
Yeah.
We went there, the semifinals, and went down on the coach to Leeds the day before.
Yeah.
After with the team.
Yeah.
Me and another security guard that works for me. And so the day of the game, we've got to the match and we're sitting there and we are, I think we're 1-0 down from the first leg. Anyway, we beat him, and we're supposed to go on the pitch to look after Frank.
What's his name? Lampard.
Lampard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Supposed to be.
That was the man. Yeah.
Yeah. Supposed to be his bodyguard, personal bodyguard. But I was that stoked that we won the game. Was all doing the bounce on the
He's
pitch.
He's doing the bounce on
and
the
I'm
pitch.
I'm doing the bounce as well. I'm supposed to be looking after him.
Amazing.
But if it was any member of my staff, I would have sacked him. But I can't sack myself.
Do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah, basically.
There so you go.
That was quite interesting. Out of sanctum. Yeah, I lost my head at the game, to be fair.
So let's talk about Florian Marco for a little bit. So he's a charge that you're training now. Sam, you're managing him. How did all this come about? How did you come into working with Marco? And tell me a little bit about that.
I've known Florian a while now, and it kind of just happened organically. Like he approached us, and we had a meeting, and we look after our fighters kind of differently than we like to believe we do.
How so?
Personal care. A lot more personal care, like it's a lot more. We offer that more personal service. If that sounds kind of wrong, but yeah, it's we do. That's what I think separates us to differently.
But would you give me an example? What does that mean?
I don't know. You'll have to ask them. You'd have to ask the fighters. But that's what we.
But they're not here. I'm asking you. Come on.
All right, David. Answer the question.
No, I mean, like, you're like personal care. Like, what is it? A mani pedi? Like, what does that mean? A personal care?
Just like
a pedicure.
what does it mean? You know,
I don't. I can't really. I'm lost for words.
This is amazing.
No,
this is Sam Jones, everybody. If you guys don't know, hold on. No, all right, you're at a loss for words. I'll take over for you for a bit. Sam, you used to sell cars, yes?
I sold everything.
Yes, Sam has taken his gift of gab to sell the gift of the jab.
Ooh. Wow!
Yeah.
So you got into this. You dated a pretty well-known boxer. Is that how you got into the game? How did
female,
you get into the game?
Female.
Yes. Okay. Female.
I wouldn't say that's how I got into it. Like you don't go up to Floyd Mayweather, which is my first deal in boxing, and okay. say, "Oh, look who I'm dating."
No. Sure, but what? Tell me how you got into it. How did you get into boxing?
I met Joe Joyce at an airport.
Okay.
So I got speaking to him. I did Savannah Marshall's. Debut on the Conor McGregor Floyd Mayweather undercard.
Okay.
I got into contact with Floyd Mayweather through a friend of his, who directed the film, the Tupac film, All Eyes on Me.
Okay,
so I got in contact with him.
Because all I want is cash and things, a 500 Benz, fountain flashy rings.
So I got in contact with Floyd. I met up with him when he came over to do the fight, the Liam Walsh. Javonta Davis fight.
Okay.
Tank. I had about 2 or 3 minutes to give a pitch.
Okay. Elevator pitch.
I didn't bore him. He criticized my watch. I remember him doing that. And he put me in contact with Leonard Ellerby. I did the deal for Savannah to get a debut on that. And that's where my profile kind of shot up. And then I signed Joe Joyce with Adam Morley, who was David Hayes' manager at the time. And we formed our company we have now. And now we've got 9 fighters. That's out of choice. We... very, very lucky we get a lot of fighters approach us, but we like to keep a small kind of boutique kind of service and keep it small.
By the way, just want to say big shout out to Joe Joyce. What a great performance against Daniel Dubois. That was a huge domestic
shout
chest
out
up.
The juggernaut.
Big up Joe Joyce.
Yeah, big up Joe Joyce. And I'm really excited for this Usyk fight if it happens. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's going to happen. We're in talks at the moment. All the teams are in talk. We're very confident the fight's going to get done very, very soon. And Joe Joyce will walk straight through him.
That's how you see that?
That's what's going to happen.
I mean, Usyk is obviously cleaned out the cruiserweight division. Yeah. He's now stepped up to heavyweight. Mm-hmm. Had a couple fights at heavyweight. And you know, he just fought Chisora. And he looked pretty good against Derek. So you just think Joe's going to walk through him?
I disagree. I don't believe he did look good against Derek. I think he did enough. I think he won the fight clearly. Some people said it was close. It wasn't close. He won. But Joe's a lot better than Derek Chisora, in my opinion. Two different fighters. Usyk's done everything as a cruiserweight. Probably behind Evander Holyfield is one of the greatest cruiserweights of all time, Usyk. But heavyweight's different. Joe's 19 stone coming at you for 12 rounds, small gloves on. I mean, he's fought Usyk in the WSB, the World Series of Boxing. He lost a points decision, but Joe was very inexperienced then. So now in the pros, it's a completely different fight, in my opinion. And we are very confident Joe will beat Usyk, whether that'll be on points or whether that's inside the distance.
Can't wait to see the fight. I hope it works. But I want to talk a little bit more about Florian again. So how did you link up with Florian?
He reached out to us, and then we met up with himself and his advisor at the time, who we still speak to and we still deal with.
Who's that?
Christian Bocci. Yeah, we met with him, and he's still very much part of the team. And yeah, we've not looked back since, and we think we've done a pretty good job with Florian. We've got him on a tremendous platform. He did underperform in his last performance in the Anthony Joshua undercard. However, it was a clear robbery on that. It was an awful decision, but it's probably the best thing that's ever happened to him. And now we believe that with bringing Clifton, because I've known Clifton a long time, and I wanted. Clifton deserves the situation he's in at the moment, because he's been in boxing before I was even probably born. So like he deserves this opportunity with somebody like with Florian's ability, and Clifton's elevated him. He really has in the last few weeks of Florian learning of what Clifton's taught him. Florian's game's elevated, I really believe, and I think you're going to see that at the weekend.
So that's why you brought Clifton in, because of that last performance.
Yeah, I trust him as well. Like, sure. It's like. I've even though I am from Derby, I've not really. It's Clifton's region, if you will. Do you know what I mean? Sure. It's Clifton's region, and it's not about like stepping up, but that's Clifton's. Clifton owns runs the most. It's probably the only gym in Derby, One Nation. He's run it for years, so I thought to myself, and Kirk Gibbons, which was the original reason why we wanted to bring Florian down here, because I genuinely believe he's one of the best fitness coaches that there is in the world. I really believe that. He trains world championship motorbike races,
super,
Clifton?
Superbike
races, and he's a winner, Kirk is. He's a real winner. And there's only one boxing gym to train in Derby, and so he's kind of organically happened with Clifton. I asked Clifton, I said, will you give Florian a hand? And he did, and Florian liked what Clifton was, his input already, and he's taken to Clifton very well. He's still with his Greek coach, but I think going forward, he'll be working with Clifton full time.
Clifton, 8 weeks. That's how long you've been with Marco. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So it's not a ton of time here.
No, but
to change things. What do you think? You think we're going to see some differences from the first fight that we saw him in?
I think Florian's very, very aggressive, but I've just really just calmed his brain down, to be fair, because Florian Marco can fight.
Tell me about his punching power.
No, seriously, everybody thinks I'm just gassing it up. I don't need to be gassing anybody up about punching power. He whacks. He's probably the biggest puncher I've had on the pads, by far.
Pound for pound.
Pound for pound, the biggest puncher on, by far.
That's saying a lot.
Yeah, and but I will say that Florian has got a very, very good boxing IQ. His last performance...
Doing no justice now.
I'd say he got the opponents got changed. In fact, my fighter was supposed to fight him and then pulled out. Another fighter that I had. So it was quite ironic that he came to the gym, my gym, where he was going to fight the kid that in my gym. But I was very, very happy to see how his boxing IQ, he's got a very good boxing IQ, very clever. His last performance shows nothing about what he's about. Now, I feel Ryan Charlton's taking him too lightly. If he thinks he can't box and he can't do this, he's got the fastest counterpunch, one shot I've seen. Never seen anything like it. Quick. And you'll probably see it Saturday. If you see it Saturday, he's only going to take one shot. Taking nothing away from Ryan Charlton. Charlton's is his world title fight. And he's going to bring everything that he can bring. I just think he's just slow.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, do you guys think this is a must-win for Marco?
Of course.
Exactly.
Of course, yeah.
This is do or die.
Yeah, he's coming off a very flat performance on a very, very big card. And I made no secret of that. I looked at the points and I wasn't impressed with his performance and he wasn't impressed. But he won. He won the fight. He just got dicked on the scores, but it is what it is. It happens, and it's been the best thing that's ever happened to him, because he's took himself to Derby. He's from Albania, I know, but he lives in central London, and he's come to train in Stocky with Clifton.
But let me explain to you that Florian is a fighter. He's an out and out fighter. Out and out, loves to fight. He loves the game. He's not doing it because it's just a way to earn money. He loves to fight. And
I think it's pretty evident.
Yeah, he loves the fight.
It's all he does.
And this is, and for him to take himself from London to come to Derby and just live and breathe boxing, that's what it takes to be a champion, doesn't it? He's going to take that.
You know, Clifton, I love when you're talking about getting him to kind of calm down a bit. Because
that's Rich coming from Clifton.
Yeah. Well, me and very similar. We're both not as so.
Maybe, but at the same time, you're also a very calming presence. I mean, even last night with the dust up that happened out here, and your security team, you're the leader of that. You really are, and they take it from you. So we all make jokes and all that because we know you and we love you and we like you. But at the end of the day, you can handle business, but you're also very cool and calm and collected, which is very important. And that's what I wanted to bring up about a fighter, because I've known a lot of guys over the years that were really talented and they had the heart of a lion. I mean, they were fighters, they were talented, but they just couldn't stay calm in the ring. Fighters do things that scare most people immensely. Being in a fight when someone's trying to take your head off, it can be a very scary place. And to get a guy to stay calm in that ring while he's in the heat of battle, that's because it's a very cerebral game. It's almost like physical chess, right?
Of course it is.
So, you know, you're doing your feints and your moves and you're setting things up. You're setting your man up. You may be changing speeds, changing heights, different things, so you can land that big punch. But you have to think about that. And when a guy gets hit in the mouth and he just reverts changes. Back to it, yeah. Changes. So you need to instill those things, and that takes a lot.
I think most importantly for me as a fighter, that was one of my biggest problems. I was an absolute loon when I got in the ring. So I understand that you can't, it's like bringing the pot to boil, but not letting it boil over.
Yes, and it's a fine line.
It's a fine line. So you got to bring it to boil, like a soup in a pot, let it bubble. Understand? They'll let it boil over, but you also have to still bring the heat up so it can get to that temperature.
That's right.
That's what I'm trying to get.
So, you know, speaking of you as a fighter, so you trained out of the famed Ingle Gym.
Yeah.
Okay. And supposedly, the Ingle said you were the most talented fighter that he had ever trained, but he also said you were lazy. I'm just being honest. Yeah. That's what he said, because you were so supremely talented, but you didn't want to train. You want to do this. You don't want to show. So from what I hear, out of that gym, okay, you had Johnny Nelson.
Yeah.
You had Nas, which you were also Nas's bodyguard, right?
Yeah. Correct.
Kell Brook, Ryan Rhodes. So, I mean, great gym, great stable. Okay. And to say that you were the most talented, and from what I hear, you were really hard on your fighters because you don't want them to fall into that same trap.
I think when people say I was lazy, I don't think I was lazy. I think the problem that, remember this, yeah? For the first 3 years of my boxing career, I was a pro for 3 years and I boxed 7 times. I boxed one guy 3 times, one guy twice. The problem that Brandon had was, because he had Naz, he moved Naz from, he had him with Mickey Duff, then moved him from Mickey Duff, moved him to Matchroom, to Barry Earn. And then moved him from Matchroom to Warren. So every time he moved him, then they're the two biggest promoters. You're not getting any more fights. So I'm sitting there, waiting around, doing nothing, ready to fight, but not getting no work. I've got three young kids, and I'm waiting for a fight. Christmas coming. No money, sitting there, just waiting around. And that's not the best start in a boxing. You understand?
Yeah, absolutely. It killed your motivation.
Yeah, so you can say I was lazy. I wasn't lazy. I just had nothing to fight for.
Yeah, you didn't understand? Feel that motivation. I understand
once,
that.
Once you get blackballed by two massive promoters, that's why I left him. I left him and went to Warren. Then my career started.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Speaking of your kids, you've got seven, eight, how many?
Eight.
You eight children, okay.
Yeah. Some going, that isn't that.
It's only eight times you have sex, you can have eight kids in it.
Right. Clifton is prolific.
Yeah, I'm just, what do you call it? Very fertile.
More active.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to take a shower after this podcast. Anyway, yeah, right. Speaking of one of your children, Ty, your son Ty's on the comeback trail.
Yeah.
From what I understand, I mean, he is supremely talented. I mean, he's training and sparring with some of the best in the business. Can you tell me about that?
My son is naturally gifted. Just naturally gifted. He don't even have to train that hard to do what he does. So, but waiting, listen, he had a misdemeanor where he got locked up. He's done his time. It's talking about 10 years ago, but the British Boxing Board of Board Control have a rule where they say, if you're unlicensed, you can't fight, which for me is not really rehabilitating fighters. You need to rehabilitate them. And if they're saying, oh, well, you know, he didn't stab anybody, he didn't shoot anybody, it was one punch manslaughter. So for me, if it had stabbed somebody or shot somebody, he doesn't deserve to get his license back. But, you know, as fighters, we've all had a scrap on the street. Just normal people have fights on the street, and there's loads of one punch manslaughter. So, hello, Orion. So, for me, I'm just trying to do my best to get his license back. Hopefully, he should have it back in a couple of weeks. We've took the British Boxing Board of Control to the High Court.
Sam, you've lobbied publicly for Ty also. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, loads of times. I just think that it's. How can you may as well say, tell him to go back to prison? Do you understand what I mean? What's the point letting him out of prison if you're not going to let him get on with his life? What he's good at afterwards? Like, you would have no problem with him working in Sainsbury's. His talent isn't stacking shelves. His talent is fighting, and let the man resume his career. I think it's been held up a lot. Like, I've known Ty a long time. I remember used to watching him have his few amateur fights in the Pennine Hotel, Clifton. Yeah. I used to go watch him there. Ty's really, really talented kid. And like, you're not going to get endorsed by better people. David Hay, Tyson Fury, Dillian White. So many people will endorse him. Tony Bellew. All these people are endorsing him because he's got talent. And I just think it'll be a crying shame if it goes to waste just because they're gonna hold him. Ty has to deal with that for the rest of his life. Like that one mistake that he made when he was a young man, I don't believe he should be punished for that for the rest of his life.
Can I just cut in there? Let's get this right regarding he didn't actually kill the guy. Mm-hmm. The hospital killed the kid. Understand? Ty put him in that situation, but you can't put somebody on a life support machine that doesn't work for 45 minutes. Understand? So there's a lot more to it than... So I feel, you know, I want to put that to bed and listen. You know, I feel it for the family. Understand? I would like to swap places with him. Understand? But I feel it for the family. And listen, but I'm not saying you got to forget what happened. Understand?
He's got a young son. Yeah. He's got a very young son, and he wants to provide for him and give him the best life.
Do you think Ty could make a dent in the pro game?
100%.
1,000,000%. Just have to move him quick.
And I've heard rumors that he could campaign at 165, but he's in there sparring with heavyweights.
Yeah.
Top heavyweights.
Yeah, he
Joyce, White,
Tyson,
Fury.
He
was one of his main sparring partners for Klitschko. Yeah,
that's what I understand.
I just think everybody deserves a second chance in life, and I just think that, as I say, if he came out and he said, oh, I'm going to be a manager at Tesco's, they would allow that. But it just so happens his talent, his skill, he's a gifted fighter. So let the man resume his career and let him have a go at giving his son the best life possible.
No, giving him his license back when he's virtually finished.
Correct.
In the game. Understand?
Sam, speaking of talent, mm-hmm. Let's talk about the SJM stable just for a second. We touched a little bit on Joe Joyce.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Laron Richards, possible mandatory for the European title. Any update with that? Also, John J. Hedges. He's going to be back out in a few weeks.
Yeah.
You know, his debut, a little bit of a learning curve there.
It was a shaky debut.
Against Jan Arden. And, of course, this weekend, we got the Romford Bull, man. So I'm really excited to see Johnny Fisher make his pro debut. He's going to be fighting against Matt Gordon. So tell me a couple of things. Tell us a couple of things about that.
In regards to John Hedges, usually I'm very, very hands-on when it comes to matchmaking. But the opponent wasn't a correct opponent for an 18-year-old kid that's just starting off. I take responsibility for that. I shouldn't have signed off on it. But it is what it is. He's learned. He got the win. It was a contentious win, but it wasn't as bad as what people making out if it was. If it was, I'd be the first person to say it was. But it is what it is. He's learned from it, and now he's now with Mark Tibbs. He's progressed massively, and hopefully everyone's going to see a different potential that we see. Like, you can't win what he's won as an amateur and be a poor fighter. I just think that he's developed now, and he's looking a lot better already. In regards to Lerone, we're hoping for an announcement in the next week or so for his pursuit of the European title.
What about the Romford Bull? I want to talk about him just for a second. Mm-hmm. I got to talk with him yesterday. He comes from a fighting background.
Yeah.
His dad, and even way, way back, his great-great-grandfather was a fighter. So he's got it in his blood. He played rugby for quite a while.
Yeah, he's a proper athlete. He's one of those people that is like, he's pretty good at every sport. Like, he's very good at every sport, but it's a crazy story. He can't play darts.
We're going to get to darts in a second.
He can't play pool either.
We're going to get to darts in a second, Clifton, because Clifton is like the darts master, but we're going to get to that right after this.
he came to spar Joe when Adam Booth was in charge of Joe. And I remember looking at Adam, me and Adam were looking at each other when he got in the ring to spar Joe. He just tried to kill Joe from the get-go. He's tried to rough him up. And I liked him. I liked what I saw. I thought, you know what? He's a rough diamond, he is. He can come back. So he kept coming back into sparring Joe. And then it resulted into, we flew him out to Vegas to be Joe's main sparring bar for Daniel Dubois. And it turned out to be a great decision. And he's developed so well. Like, I don't want to blow him up too much before his day, because I don't want to put too much pressure on him, but he punches incredibly hard.
Very impressed with him.
Very, very, very talented kid. He's fast, he's sharp, and he's a real student. Like, he's the way he speaks. Lennox Lewis is his favourite. Like he's I believe genuinely, if we match him correctly, we build him correctly, you've got a match room, ourselves, a Sky, they have a superstar on their hands.
You know, he really was excited about that Vegas trip. It really made an impression on him. And
he sacrificed a first.
Yeah. No, those things can make a big, big difference for young fighters. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Vegas, fun and games, Clifton, fun and games, we're here in the bubble. Now, you are quite the darts player. Can you tell us about, where does that come from? Your history of darts?
To be fair, I manage about 12 darts players. And I've got one that's ranked probably 7 in the world, a kid called Daryl Gurney, me and Matt Ward. And so I've been around the darts for about 6 years now. So I've just been throwing. I've got a board in the office. And have a bit of a mess about. But it's all right saying you play a bit, but when you're under pressure and you've got to do it under pressure, that's when it counts, isn't it? And I'm a good pressure man.
You are absolutely right, my friend. The pressure is a big deal.
Yeah.
It's a big deal. Speaking of other talents that you have, I understand that you are an incredible impersonator of famous boxers.
who told you that?
That's the word on the street, baby. But it's not really like talking. It's more showing.
Yeah, I can.
And especially if everyone doesn't know, we're talking above 14 stone 4 pounds here. Clifton's a heavyweight. Yeah. So to see a big man doing all the who are some of your favorite people to impersonate?
Everybody can do Eubanks, can't they? Everybody can do Eubanks. I can do Ben, Lennox. Probably do anybody I can watch impersonate. Yeah?
I love it.
Joyce, I can do quite a few of them, to be fair. I just understand the style that they're fighting. It's quite funny.
So Sam, special talents, anything here in the bubble? We're playing pool, ping pong, anything that you,
I'm undefeated at ping pong already. Undefeated.
I don't have much talent. I just fluke. That's me.
It's the gift of the gab.
Correct.
To sell the gift of the jab.
Absolutely.
All right. That works, though. That works. All right, guys. We've got something that we call rapid fire questions. We do this every day, and the fans send in questions for you guys. And okay, here we go. Clifton, this is for you.
Okay.
Stevie Josh 82 asks, who's the hardest puncher you felt either on the pads or in a fight?
Malku.
Okay. Great. And that's, again, everybody, Florian Marku against Rylan Charlton, co-main event. I mean, just, you know, talking about this fight again, it's hard for me to see this thing being anything but them walking into the center of the ring, getting in a phone booth, and just banging.
I could tell you what I think, yeah, is going to happen. But it's all going to boil down to the two kids in the ring. Florian has the ability to box his ears off. Understand? If he wants to and he can stick to the plan.
Yeah? But will he?
We'll wait and see. But he loves... Marku loves a scrap. He loves a scrap, as does
Charlton.
Yeah, but he'll sit in the pocket, but he's clever. There's a Marku punch here. It's called just a split second wait. Just a split second. And he'd land it wherever he wants. Remember I said that.
It's a brilliant little fight. Cannot wait for it. It's the Chief Support Saturday. Okay. Charlie Saunders asks Sam, have you ever boxed as an amateur?
No. I went to Clifton's gym, though, when I was younger.
Okay.
Which you probably won't even remember.
What do you mean you're still younger? What do you?
Yeah, well, 32 years old with gray hair,
My hair is older than you.
Yeah. That's actually possibly accurate.
No, it is. My hair's 33 years.
Yeah, I've always been around it. My granddad's brother was a professional boxer. He had 124 fights. He was a welterweight boxer years ago. My granddad boxed in the army. So boxing was like, I used to sit up. This is the truth. I used to sit up and watch in awe of Prince Nazim Hamid. That's the reason why I'm in boxing. It's the reason why I love boxing.
Sure.
Prince Nazim Hamid is my hero. Really is. The first time I ever saw Prince Nazim Hamid was not too long ago. It was when Luke Campbell fought Linares. I've met everybody. I've done deals with Floyd Mayweather. It's no problem. The only time I've ever been starstruck in my whole life was when I saw Prince Nazim Hamid it was in Inglewood. I'm not sure where Luke Campbell fought Linares. I can't be corrected on that, but I saw him and I climbed over Joe's legs like this. I climbed over him, over the seats to meet him for the first time. I couldn't even speak properly.
And, you know, they always say, like, don't meet your heroes. Because how was he as nice as you thought?
I had a photo with him, and it came out blurry, believe it or not. It came out blurry. And then after the fight, he saw me again, and he called me over because he couldn't believe it because he saw I was like a little puppy dog. So he came over, and he came up to me and goes, let's have a proper photo. So that meant a lot to me.
Yeah.
I spoke to Naz on the 12th on his birthday because my son is born on the same day as him, so we had a bit of a banter with him. Like I said, I've known Naz since he's been... First time I've seen him fight, he boxed at the Pennine, he would have been no more than 13. And and me and him just... When I went to the Ingle Gym, me and him were just like that from the beginning. So I've been all around the world with him. All around the world.
He was there for Kevin Kelly, weren't you?
Yeah.
The Flushing Flash.
Yeah. Kevin Kelly went to Detroit when he boxed in Mexican. I can't remember the kid. But Naz is the most talented kid that's ever been. When I said biggest puncher, yeah, even Marku punches harder than him. And everybody says that Naz could punch. And he could.
Yeah, but you know this just as much as I do. What causes knockouts a lot of times isn't just power, it's timing. speed and timing.
Yes,
it's kind of everything. So, you know, you can have a lot of power.
You can punch somebody as hard as you like on the arm.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
It's speed and timing. That's what creates knockouts. Yeah, Naz is incredible. I've gotten to spend quite a lot of time with him also. And but being his bodyguard, you must have seen a whole lot of stuff.
I wouldn't even call myself as a bodyguard. I was just his mate that was just with him everywhere he went.
His big mate.
Yeah.
His big mate.
I had some good times with him. Went to Michael Jackson's house with him. Went
all over the place. All right, Clifton.
Sorry, I didn't want to drop that in
okay.
there. You know what I mean?
All right, Peter Phillips asked Clifton, are you still involved with Harry Scarf? There are some big fights at 154 domestically.
Harry Scarf is called Horrible Harry. And Harry, hopefully, we're trying to get him, trying to speak to Matthew about getting him out in Spain. And if you get him out of there, the thing with Harry is that nobody wants to fight him. He's the type of guy that is not going to make you look good at all.
Sure.
But I said to Harry, what we both said is, your next opportunity you have to take because you can't be a nearly man.
It's a different times here in COVID. You can't pick and choose sometimes. No. You got to just take what comes.
We said, well, we asked for Fitzgerald. We asked for Cheeseman. Who else is the other kid that they've got? The tall. Conway. Yeah, that's for Conway.
Sure, those are all, those would all be really interesting fights. He fought Fowler. Yeah. I think that was in November of 2019.
Yeah.
He lost to Fowler on that was on the undercard of the Smith Rider.
Yeah.
But yeah, it'd be great to see Horrible Harry out again. I will be in Spain for that fight, so hopefully he'll be on that card.
I just need to get Eddie Frank to just do the deal. Just do it.
Do the deal. Well,
the deal, sir.
All right.
Eddie, do the deal.
There you go. Okay, Katie Smith asks Sam, how much of a learning lesson was it for you as a manager for the John J. Hedges debut? Was he matched too hard? Was it an oversight? You kind of touched on that earlier.
No, it is usually like I'm on top of like the matchmakers like consistently. And I was saying, it was just more the fact that we had a few pullouts in that week and John was, I want to box. I'm prepared to box. And I came out and said, listen, blame me for that. Blame me for that. John shouldn't have been in the ring with Jan Arden. He was too tough. John was a kid. Like he deserved a bit more of an easier touch. But I understand that the pandemic we're in at the moment, there isn't many easy touches. But I just don't, as I say, well, he's very fortunate. He's got a great promoter, a fantastic broadcaster, a good platform behind him. He's got the opportunity to put it right and people will have a better perception of him after his next fight on April the 10th.
Yeah. And people don't realize the first time that the headgear's off, the gloves are smaller. It's a different...
Yeah, no crowd, especially with it, no crowd in that situation.
It's a very strange atmosphere I can imagine for the boxers. Like, remember to say, watching Joe beat Daniel Dubois, like, I was just sweating. I was like, oh my, this is it's awful.
We've already told him he's not allowed in. He can come in and say hello to Florian and then he's got to go.
No, I'm all right. I'm all right.
No, you're not. You're not. I've seen you at sparring.
Looks like he's sweating now.
That's because it's 100 degrees in here.
Yeah, it's my climate, mate.
Oh my Lord. All right. This next question's for both of you guys. This is from Anoop Punching Pride. He asked both of you, how do you see Saturday night's main event going?
Do you want to go first, Clifton, or do you want me to go
first? Just for the fans out there, that's David Avanesian against PBK Josh Kelly.
I think, me personally, I think Avanesian late.
Mm-hmm. Stoppage.
Or even points. I just think late. I think he just surges later on. I think if Josh Kelly can stay away from him and keep him at bay, then again, you know, I'm just going to stick with that. I could give you two analogies, but I'm just going to stick with what I say. You can say what you want to say now, mate.
Sam, what do you think?
No, Josh Kelly, and I don't want to just point this out because I know people like to, but I've been in camp with great fighters, Linares, Golovkin. I've lived in the same house as Linares when he was training for Luke Campbell for two of the camp Linares, Golovkin, many, many quality fighters. Josh Kelly is one of the most talented fighters I've ever seen in a gym. He really is. If he puts together, because I made a point yesterday or today, I don't know whether it was, that we've seen a lot of razzle but not enough dazzle right now of Josh Kelly. If he puts it together, he won't just win, he'll win comfortably against David Avanesian. However, David Avanesian on form is the favourite, but it just depends of, like, as I say, Clifton's probably got it right. It's probably a fight of two halves. But I keep chopping and changing my mind, but if I had to put my neck on the line, I would go Josh Kelly. I really would. I fancy him because I've seen what he does in the gym, and I hope for him, because otherwise it will be a waste of talent, that he's going to transfer it in the ring on Saturday.
Sam, I have to agree with you when you talk about the razzle and the dazzle, but I say it a little bit different. Mm-hmm. He's got all the sizzle. Does he have any steak? You know, because he does things that are incredible. Mm-hmm. I mean, he is a talented, talented fighter. Yeah. He really is. But he's got to put it together. And absolutely, at a certain point, as a pro fighter, you got to hurt people. This is the hurt business.
Somebody like David Avanesian, you have to. There's no hiding place with him.
You have to make him respect you. Absolutely. You have to stand and fight. There's certain times when that has to happen. He has all the sizzle. Does he have the steak?
I think as well, if Avanesian can make the ground up, then he's going to have problems. But if he can't make the ground up, it's Josh Kelly all night.
Yeah, it's a really compelling card. And
it's a fantastic card.
It's
really
a fantastic card. And Jordan Gill, Robbie Davies Jr., the Romford Bull. There's just a lot of great fights on there. Of course, Marco and Charlton.
Everyone's looking forward to that one, aren't they? The Marco Charlton fight. I keep getting people saying, oh, they're more looking forward to that than the main event.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I want to see all these fights, to be honest with you. I really can't wait for this weekend. It's going to be a great, great fight card. And, you know, I just want to say I'm really honored, Sam Jones and Clifton Mitchell. Thank you so much for coming on. It's really been great talking to both of you guys. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for inviting me on your channel. And thank you ever so much.
Cheers. Absolutely.
Thank you for having me.
Guys, that's a wrap for today's Daily Dose in the Bubble. Now, to finish off, we have an exclusive. So this is what it is. Joe Cordina, the Welsh Wizard, undefeated, 11-0 with 7 knockouts. He's the WBA Continental Champion. He's going to fight Farouk Korbanov, 17-2 with 3 knockouts, on the undercard on March 20th of the Glavaki Okoli card. So it's a great super featherweight matchup, and that's your daily snippet and your bit of news right there. I am David Diamante signing off for Matchroom Radio. We'll see you guys tomorrow.